Welcome back, Jim, along with the Buckeye Boy, the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. Jeff Breidich is gone. What does this mean for the Rockies? There were rumors that Clint Hurdle might come on as team president, former Rockies manager. That did not happen. Instead, Jeff Fiesel gets promoted. You're going, who? Jeff Fiesel, who previously has been essentially oversaw the business side of things for the Rockies.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that Fievel from the old cartoon movie? No, sorry, that's somebody else. My bad.
Okay, I'm sorry, Greg Fiesel, sorry, not Jeff Fiesel, Greg Fiesel. Former
Might as well be Jeff Fiesel. He's just,
Denver Gold great.
Yeah.
Greg Fiesel. Vice president and CEO. He will now become the club president. His baseball experience? 0.0. Oh, by the way, I saw a number yesterday of all the free agents that Jeff Breidich had brought in.
Yeah, both of them.
I'm talking about all of them. The totality of his time there.
Sorry, my bad.
From the Ian Desmonds to the Daniel Murphys to Brian Shaw and Wade Davis. Minus 3.8 war combined. Minus 3.8.
Yeah.
And so there were quotes in the statement from Dick Monfort. And over the last week, Jeff, Greg, and I determined it was in the best interest of Jeff, his family, and the Rockies for him to step down as general manager. I'm saddened by this, but I've accepted the fact that we must move on. Jeff has dedicated the last 17 years of his life to this organization. He's been a great Rocky and been part of many memorable moments, including being the general manager for our first back-to-back playoff appearances in 2017 and 2018. I'm grateful for his leadership, professionalism, and hard work. I wish Jeff and his family nothing but the very best. Okay. Goes on. I'm excited to name Greg as our team president. We appreciate the focus and structure he's provided to the day-to-day business side, and I'm confident he will bring the same leadership to the baseball side. Right now, we're focused on naming an interim general manager as quickly as possible and working our way back to postseason baseball. Probably not, though, in 2021.
No, you got to win at least a couple of road games.
Just a couple.
Got to get to at least 35 road wins at some point.
Which
they're already 0-8.
They are 35 wins away from getting to 35 road wins.
Man alive.
Listen to the Giants last night, 12-0. We'll have Rockies and Giants tonight on the team. Pre-game at 7 o'clock. Forgot to mention the Nuggets score. My apologies. Nuggets beating Memphis last night. 120-96.
Didn't look like it was going to go that way early. That first half was a mess.
Michael Porter Jr., 31 points. Nikola Jokic had 24 points, 15 rebounds last night. So my apologies. I left out the Nuggets score from last night. We had so much other stuff going on that missed my attention initially in hour one.
I was talking at the end of the last hour about guys that Jeff Breidich is responsible for drafting and therefore his minor league system is responsible for developing. His first draft was 2015. Brendan Rodgers, Peter Lambert, Sam Hilliard. Those are the only three guys from that draft class to make the majors. That was 6 years ago now, six seasons ago. I understand it's been different with COVID and whatnot, but at some point, some of these other guys got to get close to the majors, right?
Got to start panning out, yeah.
Tyler Nevin was a first round. They had three first round picks, one compensatory pick. Brendan Rodgers, Mike Nikorak, Tyler Nevin. Combined, the three of them have 97 plate appearances over 32 games. That's all Brendan Rodgers. Neither of the other two have reached the majors. You got Peter Lambert in the second round.
Which we have seen at the big league level.
Yeah.
But not lately.
Not lately, no. Sam Hilliard, the guy with the best batting average out of the three of them is Peter Lambert at 321. He's a pitcher.
And from how things went for Peter Lambert, Well, maybe he needs to become a position player.
Seven and a quarter ERA. But
yeah,
you got those guys, and then 2016 was Ben Bowden, Garrett Hampson.
We've seen Bowden's not been very good.
JD Hammer has 20 games under his belt. And Rico Garcia has made 14 appearances pitching. I'm not sure if they're all for the Rockies. But those seven guys from 15-16 are really the only ones of note.
Riley Pint's been a bust. Michael Tulia, former UCLA kid, position
hasn't
player.
Hasn't come up yet.
It hasn't got anywhere close to
the
league level.
18, 19, 20 drafts, those guys aren't close or ready yet. But they haven't picked anybody that's flown through the system.
No.
Arenado, Story, trading for DJ LeMahieu, Charlie Blackmon, those are all Dan O'Dowd moves. And we gave Dan O'Dowd a lot of grief. But the way his team developed after he left, that was the focus of the playoff team. John Gray, picking John Gray. I'm not sure the
third
date. Third, I think.
Yeah.
Top 10 for sure. I'm not sure when the Herman Marquez deal went down, acquiring him.
That's that with the Rays.
Yeah. A lot of that back-to-back playoff team, it was under Jeff Breidich's quote-unquote leadership. It was built by Dan O'Dowd.
Yeah. And so let's not give Jeff Breidich, hey, way to go, Jeff, mm-hmm. the back-to-back playoff years. Yeah, that team is already pretty much constructed. Their best talent came through Dan O'Dowd.
Yeah.
Either via the minor league system or trade. So, let's pump the brakes on the leadership. Come on, Dick Monfort.
The stewardship. No.
Let's give Bud Blackmore credit for that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's do that. Steve Foster and those guys.
I don't think Riley Pint or the guy that was picking after him, a first-round compensatory pick, Robert Tyler, I don't think either of those guys ever make the majors. I don't know if Riley Pint ever does. Robert Tyler, we've not heard a lot about him, but he's a guy that was out of University of Georgia. Riley Pint has had injury issues and, can't get people out, which is a different issue.
Which is not good.
No. I just...
Kid that came right out of high school. Mm-hmm. He's 23 now.
Robert Tyler peaked at A Advanced in 2019. He didn't play here in Junction. 2016, he played in Boise. He missed 2017 with an injury. Played 2018 at A and A Advanced. He's 5-5 with a ERA north of 6.
Remember, in Pint, got a $4.8 million signing bonus.
Yeah, bonus baby, a little nuclear loose. You could throw 100, exactly. But no idea where it's going.
He's thrown just 156 professional innings. Just 26 in the last 2 years combined.
He's 3-20.
Forearm stiffness. That was in his first game in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Oblique injury that same season. 2019, shoulder tendonitis. And look, when he was healthy, he used him mostly as a reliever when he was in Asheville.
Yeah.
He was terrible.
Well, he was in Asheville in 2018 for a third of an inning where he gave up 5 runs, 3 of them earned, with an ERA of 81.00. He's been a bust. I'm sorry.
A good portion of the guys that Jeff Breidich drafted have been busts or dramatically underachieved.
All of them.
Yeah. There was nobody in there, the Nolan Arenados, those kind of mm-hmm. players that have come through the system, moved quickly through the system, developed, and been major league contributors.
Garrett Hampson with a splash of Sam Hilliard.
Yes. And that's it. And that's
pretty much it.
That's all he can hang his hat on. All right. So we got some thoughts today on the departure of Jeff Breidich. Text or call us, 970-242-1340. From Paul, I think the problem lies with ownership. Jeff did not get to do the things he did. It was all strings pulled by the owners. Paul, you're being very generous about Jeff Breidich. I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't agree with you on that.
The problem does lie with ownership, but also... Jeff Breidich dug his own grave, for lack of a better term.
Poor drafting, poor free agent signings, mm-hmm. overspending on guys that never really lived up to their expectation. Ian Desmond, Daniel Murphy. Got one from Dan this morning. Regarding Breidich, hopefully things will be better, but in my experience, no matter how bad someone seems to be, there's always someone worse to come along and take their place. Keep your fingers crossed. I'm going to quote the line from the Beatles, can't get much worse, right?
I mean, it can, and I wouldn't put it past Dick Monfort to...
For it to be yeah. that case?
Just to contrast some Dan O'Dowd draft, the last Dan O'Dowd draft in 2014, here are his top 9 draft picks. Kyle Freeland.
Excellent.
Forrest Wall. Was a really good minor leaguer, but he's not really done much. Ryan Castellani. It was okay.
At times, okay.
Made the majors.
Yeah, maybe that needs to be the bar. Made the majors.
Sam Howard.
Okay.
Wes Rogers.
No.
Kevin Padlo.
Wesley, good kid.
Yeah, he's a great kid. Kevin Padlo. Max George, who's currently glass ceilinged.
Right.
Because the guy ahead of him is Trevor Story. Drew Weeks. Not our former buddy Drew Wilkins.
No.
Drew Weeks. Harrison Musgrave and Andrew Warbrock.
Musgrave was up at the big league level.
He's not bad. 4.45 ERA in 45 appearances. Not terrible. Those are Dan O'Dowd's first 10 picks of his last draft.
Not blockbuster, not great, not horrible.
No, you got a guy that was almost won a Cy Young in there.
Very true. Kyle Freeland.
And then, the 2013 draft. John Gray, Ryan McMahon, Jordan Patterson, Dom Nunez, Pat Valaika, Mike Tauchman.
Tauchman with the Yankees mm-hmm. now.
Valaika with the Orioles.
Yeah.
But, you know, guys that are, you know, everyday major leaguers.
Playing in the bigs.
Yeah. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of 11. 6 of the first 11 in the 2013 draft. Say what you want about some of Dan O'Dowd's trades. He drafted pretty well. And remember, Rockies 14, 15, 16, 17 were top 5 MLB pipeline team organization. Just because of all the talent they had that didn't hit the majors. We said it was going to drop off when all those guys hit the majors because they were all pretty good. You know, you have Story, and then behind him, Max George. You have Brandon Rogers and all these guys, John Gray, McMahon. You know, and now they hit the major leagues, and they're trying. You know, can't blame it on the kids, but that 2013 draft stands out. It was pretty good.
All right. Jim, along with the Buckeye boy today from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. One from Evan. Oh, happy day. Breidich leaving is great news. It doesn't solve anything, but it's great to see the first step for the Rockies to suck less. If Monfort would sell today, it'd been an even more fantabulous week. Evan from Grand Junction. From Paul, I want to agree with that, Jim. Yes, I meant to say that most of the problem is the ownership. Breidich was a problem as well. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
We're good, Paul.
Yeah.
From Jared, I've been saying for years the Rockies need to revamp scouting. It's clear they cannot evaluate talent or develop it. Hopefully the Monforts will sell. Let's see, Jamie, Max George converted catcher a couple of years ago. I thought they had made that move to switch him to catcher. Because he was going to get stalled out at the shortstop spot. And yes, the glass ceiling is gone. All right,
he's still only 24.
So there's still time.
Yeah.
Jim, along with the Buckeye boy today from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios on the Team Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on the program this morning. All right, some NFL we want to get to this morning and start things out with Pro Football Focus. They've released their pre-draft roster rankings. So I'm going to let you guess. You're not looking at this, correct?
Not yet.
Okay, don't look at it.
Okay.
Where are the Broncos ranked in terms of their pre-draft roster?
The full roster. I'm going to say 12th.
You're low. Sixth.
Okay.
Sixth. And the comments are essentially this. Denver would be even higher if we remove the quarterbacks from the equation. The Broncos secondary might be the best in the NFL with Kyle Fuller and Ronald Darby on the outside, Bryce Callahan on the slide, Justin Simmons, Kareem Jackson at the safety spots. Unfortunately, Drew Lock has yet to show much in the way of promise. He is one of the three lowest graded passers of the last couple of years, while no quarterback in the NFL has thrown more uncatchable balls at a higher rate.
Ooh, hashtag facts.
Exactly.
Man.
Hashtag ouch.
Yeah.
According to DraftKings Sportsbook, North Dakota State quarterback Trey Lance, the favorite for the Broncos to take at number 9. Agree or disagree with that ranking? 6th best in the league.
Again, that goes back to this on paper stuff, right?
Yes.
And what Ryan Edwards says, it's like, that's great on paper, but until it is actually put into motion, you don't know exactly how good they're going to be. We can talk up the defense and the moves they made, but if they don't mesh, this could be a disaster.
Injuries, right? All those things.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
Like I said, on paper, George Payton has had a magnificent offseason.
They have an incredible crop of wide receivers, but no one that can get them the ball.
Yeah. So,
you know,
what does that mean coming up on Thursday night for the Broncos? By the way, Tampa Bay, Cleveland,
yeah,
Kansas City, Green Bay, and Buffalo. Those are the teams in front.
Cleveland was number 2?
Cleveland was number 2 on this list. You got a good roster, man.
Yeah. I hope they figure out a way to bring back Sheldon Richardson. He was a little pricey, and they cut him to make room for Jadeveon Clowney. I hope they figure out a way to bring him back. He's going to get gobbled up by somebody, though.
By the way, Peter King mocking Trey Lance to the Broncos. So we're going to do, I think,
like
tomorrow.
Like mock drafting or mocking the selection?
No, mock draft.
I was like, Peter probably should not.
Tomorrow we'll do Cody Rourke's going to join us, Locked On Broncos podcast, 9:20 tomorrow. We'll do our Broncos selections.
Okay.
For the Broncos picks. And then Thursday we'll just do the top 10 picks.
Yeah.
And obviously your Browns, since you'll have that.
Yeah. We're picking in the 20s. I'm not sure how to wait around all evening for this.
You're not used to that. You're used to things happening, you know, boom, first five picks,
right? I would love for them to trade out of the first round so I don't have to worry about it. Sitting around for 3 hours waiting for them to pick, I'm not going to... How do I do that? Usually the Browns are done drafting in the first round by like 7:05. With the draft that starts at 7.
Okay, so... And we'll have draft coverage, by the way, Thursday night.
Yeah.
CBS will provide draft coverage right here on the Team Sports Network. Okay. This is an interesting take from Bucky Brooks from NFL Media.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks that the Baltimore Ravens should take Justin Fields. Here's the logic. They could take a collegiate approach to the quarterback position. They cash in on Justin Fields, and then maybe they operate like a college team. One quarterback graduates, the other one steps into the starter's role. Now you have the opportunity to keep a starting quarterback potentially on a young deal, build up the rest of the assets, and then play smash-mouth football the way they play and continue to build a better team around the quarterback. It's something to think about. So he's suggesting that they don't spend a lot of money on re-signing Lamar Jackson.
Or at all. Sounds like.
That he comes back, plays out the rest of his contract, they move on from him. Do you like or dislike that idea? The collegiate approach of, well, Lamar Jackson's a senior, he's graduating, so here's Justin Fields.
If it fails spectacularly, I love that idea for them being in my division.
Right. But just, let's take the name off the helmet, okay? Or the logo off the helmet, the name off the team. At the NFL level, does this make some sense? And does it make some sense now, we'll put the name back on the team, for the Baltimore Ravens?
In 2 or 3 years, is Justin Fields as good as Lamar Jackson? He's definitely going to be cheaper.
Yes, and that's...
That's about it, right? I don't really see a world where Justin Fields eclipses Lamar Jackson sans catastrophic injury.
I think the feeling is this. They can get comparable production from Justin Fields. Maybe better passing production from Justin Fields. And and use the money they would have spent on Lamar Jackson, because it's going to be a rookie deal for Justin Fields. He's going to be on his rookie contract, mm-hmm. you know, for the first, what, 4 years or whatever, 4 or 5 years. And so they can use the money they would have spent on Jackson and invest it in other places.
But the question is, if they're going to do that and they're going to invest money and draft picks to build around him, what type of assets are you going to have to give up to move up to get Justin Fields in the first place? He may not even be there for the Broncos at 9. So the Ravens are going to have to go up from, what, 21st, 22nd, somewhere around there, to get Justin Fields? That's quite a jump. And then that kind of hamstrings you for the next 2 or 3 years, right? That's the question where I don't think it works.
Yeah, Baltimore's 27th.
Oh,
in the first
damn.
Round.
I was way
off. They're 27th. They got a long way.
They
got
to go up at least 20 picks.
They got. And so with what you give up in terms of draft capital, whatever, is that going to be worth?
I don't think Justin Fields can cover that gap.
That's because that's a big jump.
Mm-hmm. And then it has to work. If you're already at number 6 or 7 and you take a quarterback and it doesn't work, you were bad in the first place and you put a quarterback into a bad situation. Like the Jets or Jacksonville or whoever, right? Carolina, Detroit, things like that. If you're the Ravens, who you have an MVP caliber quarterback, you've been to the playoffs, and you move up and you take Justin Fields and it doesn't work, then you discarded a sure thing for a failure.
And I agree with the you know, the thought about this.
The thought is intriguing.
This isn't college football, though. This is the NFL, right, where you draft a player, you develop that player into being your starting quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's a lot of people that aren't big Lamar Jackson fans, but I would certainly take him at this stage of the
over
game.
Drew Lock, yeah.
He's been an MVP in this league. And yeah, I don't know if I think it's, to me, a what if Justin Fields doesn't work out and you walk from Lamar Jackson? You made a bad decision there. You know what you have with Lamar Jackson at this point in time. And he's a mm-hmm. young guy. He's going to be your quarterback for quite some time. If you want to invest, put the financial investment in him to keep him long term. I don't think the college model necessarily can work at the NFL level.
Lamar Jackson just turned 24. He's already an All-Pro. He's already an MVP. He led the league in QBR in 2019 with 83. Last year, we talk about his numbers when it comes to yardage, not great. 2,700 passing yards. But he was 64, almost 65% completion percentage. He went 11-4, 26 touchdowns, 9 picks.
Don't you think he's going to get better in that regard? He's already shown growth. He's already shown.
But when he's rushing for 1,000 yards every year, very Philip Lindsay-esque, 1,005, but he's also the quarterback.
Which is not that's not sustainable, though. But that's not sustainable, though, for him doing that year after year after year.
That's
some point,
true.
Some point it's going to catch up with him. And that's where his development as a passer is extremely important.
He's almost at 3,000 yards rushing already through 3 years. And you're right. It's not sustainable. He's not going to have 1,000 yards for the next 5, 6, 7 years. But, you know, I don't necessarily, if I'm the Ravens, I don't need him throwing for 4,000 yards, 4,500 yards, and
play great
45
defense,
touchdowns.
Run the ball.
Play D, take care of the ball. With him running it, the one thing that it does do is it runs the clock.
Absolutely, it does.
And I don't know. I just.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about the idea. It's an intriguing idea. Mm-hmm. I don't think. Because they make the reference in the article that maybe the Rams should have thought about doing this with Jared Goff. If you're not totally sold on him, he's still a good enough starter.
That's a good theory.
You keep him, you draft somebody, and you see if he can beat him out or not. And if he can't, well, you don't re-sign him and you move on.
Lamar Jackson in 37 starts is 30-7 in the tougher of the two conferences. And one of the tougher divisions. I'm not sure I'm ready to move away from that if I'm the Ravens.
I'm not either. Jim, along with Buckeye Boy.
You always have a chance.
On the Team Sports Network, talking a little NFL here. And look, what the Niners do at number three is going to determine what any team, especially the Broncos, will do at the quarterback spot. Kyle Shanahan yesterday, Niners coach, said they like all five of the top quarterbacks. He also made a comment about Jimmy Garoppolo. The biggest thing with Jimmy is his injuries. That's been very tough for us when he's been hurt. It's happened two out of the 3 years, and that's where it starts. And Jimmy knows that. I've been very upfront with him. I've been very upfront with him with everything. That sounds like a team that is Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be playing someplace else.
Yeah,
don't be surprised to see Jimmy Garoppolo get traded on draft night. And maybe it's back to the Patriots. Maybe that's how they feel they solve their somewhat long-term quarterback issue with Jimmy Garoppolo.
I heard a theory somewhere, I can't remember where it was, yesterday, about Shanahan and Mac Jones. Shanahan's enamored with Mac Jones because he's mad scientist quarterback guy.
Super smart guy.
He's the
high football IQ.
If you run the play that I design, it will work. And Mac Jones is that guy. He's not an ad libber. He's not a make it up as he goes along.
Which is what Trey Lance guy. Is.
Trey Justin, Lance kind of is. Justin Fields is. You know, and so Mac Jones is kind of the...
I want a guy that'll execute.
Yeah. He will run the play as called, and that's Mac Jones. Maybe that's where the Niners go. I don't know.
But I also think you have to have a quarterback that can play off script. You have to have the ability to ad-lib and when things break down.
But how many times have we seen a head coach, a quarterback guy coach, do the, I am going to make this peg fit the square hole no matter how hard I try. And Shanahan may be hard-headed enough to try it.
And maybe Mac Jones is the better fit for them and what he wants.
Because they have some outstanding receivers.
Yes, they do.
And George Kittle... running game.
Kittle to a lesser degree, like Garoppolo, a guy that's really productive, and Kittle even more so. Tough to keep. He's tough to
stay on the field.
He gets injured a lot.
But they're very deep weapon-wise offensively in San Francisco. Mac Jones may be the best fit there. I don't know.
And they've done a lot of things to improve their defense. John Lynch has done a nice job. Yeah. All right, it's time for Junction Square. Excuse me, pardon me. 357 Reloaded Stadium Cinema.
Know your sports TV shows and movies? Let's play Stadium Cinema on the team.
All right. First correct answer on the text line, 970-242-1340. You get a gift certificate to 357 Reloaded. Perfect place for breakfast, lunch, dinner, to watch your favorite team in the Peachtree Shopping Center in Clifton. Stop by and see them today.
Yes, I want this movie.
Now, if I were playing, what I would do is play center midfield so I could control the flow of the game and help out the inexperienced players.
There you go.
Okay, first correct answer. You win the gift certificate to 357 Reloaded out in Clifton at the Peachtree Shopping Center. We'll take a break and we'll come back for down territory on the way in a few. On the Jim Davis Show on the team, Colorado sports leader.
They're a lot of fun. Oh.
The Jim Davis Show. They're idiots.
Say what?
On Colorado sports leader, the team.
Welcome back, 833, Jim and the Buckeye. Boy, the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. Jeff Braddich, he's gone as the Rockies general manager.
He gone.
Vice president of baseball operations. And so, replacing him, a guy that has a lot of experience selling Coca-Cola, doing human resources for the Colorado Rockies. Have you won? Greg Fiesel, who will now be the club president. And they've not had a club president since Kelly McGregor's death in 2010.
The closest they had was, what, Bill Guyvette, director of Major League Operations?
Yeah, he wasn't really... Essentially, he was kind of that.
Yeah, they just didn't want to give him the title because I think Kelly had, what, just passed maybe a year or two before? And he was still kind of president emeritus. Type.
That's when they
President Donna Orium.
Yeah, they had the piggyback rotation during that period of time when Guyvette was there.
Yeah, the kind of the piggyback GMs with Guyvette and O'Dowd.
Yeah, they had it was kind of the split roles, if you will. Dan was more out of the minor league system visiting. He was here in Grand Junction quite a bit during that period of time with the Rockies And Guyvette.
Guyvette was your Lodo guy.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, who do we have in the Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line?
Sam from Fruita.
Probably
calling to rejoice for Christmas in April.
I'm going to say, are you a happy man today, Sam from Fruita?
Well, Jim Davis, I'd be lying if I said I was disappointed.
Always an honest answer from you, my friend. Always an honest answer.
Breidich has been the face of failure for this team for years, with his inability to draft talent, with his reckless spending on bums for the bullpen, and his ability to allow a lot of the real talent on the team to go elsewhere, especially with the Arenado deal when they got at least they got one pitcher that I guess he's at the right place. You talk about Riley Pint's record, and I thought, boy, now there's a guy that should be a middle reliever on the Rockies. I don't know. You know, we've wrung our hands about this for years. Oh, yeah, we got in the playoffs a couple of years in a row and didn't do a damn thing. So, getting there might be half the fun, but you got to do something once you get there.
Well, yeah, getting swept by the Brewers, you know, after they beat the Cubs in the wild card game, and just got steamrolled by that great bullpen with Milwaukee, and like we said earlier, Sam, the back to back wild card years, though the talent that was on that team was brought in by Dan O'Dowd. It wasn't Jeff Breidich who put those teams together. It was Dan O'Dowd, as much as people like to cuss Dan O'Dowd, and we certainly did over the years in this program. Give Dan O'Dowd, now in retrospect, let's give Dan O'Dowd a little more credit than he was getting, and less blame, because he was the guy that allowed them to that brought in the talent to get them to the back-to-back postseason appearances. Not Jeff Breidich.
I figured Breidich would be there forever. It seems like he's been there forever.
I'm with you too. I was stunned yesterday that he was gone, to be quite honest. I thought he'll be there until Dick just finally decides, because Dick, we've talked about Dick Monfort's loyalty should be commended on some level, but also needs to be criticized, because at some point business is business, and if somebody isn't getting the job done, you need to move on no matter what that relationship might be. And he's always been reluctant to do that. And it's been to the detriment of the ball club that he's had those kind of emotional ties to people where he's just such a good guy. Just can't let him go. Just can't do it.
Yeah.
Well, at least yesterday he finally did, so.
Yeah, of course, then, look at last night's fiasco. It's just, they actually win a couple games and things look good and guys are swinging the bat and actually hitting the ball, and then that. Didn't they get shut out the last time they were out there? I meant to look up the record before I called, but it seems to me
they did get shut out. Was it like first game of that series? They got shut out?
Yeah.
Like 4-0?
I'm looking right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's going to be a long season.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Well, Sam, just for you, okay? I'm going to play a little, there you go. Just for you. For Jeff Breidich. A little na-na. Hey, hey, goodbye. Sam, always appreciate it. Talk to you soon. Thanks, Sam. Okay, I think Sam must be gone.
Sam's gone. So,
goodbye, Sam.
The Rockies haven't scored in San Francisco since the fifth inning of Saturday, April the 10th. So, the last four innings, all of the Sunday game, and all of yesterday. So we're now sitting at, quick fruit of math, 22 innings of scoreless baseball put up by the Rockies, quote-unquote, offense in San Francisco.
Should they have hired Clint Hurdle?
Yes.
I think so. Clint Hurdle's
look at
a guy
what
that...
he did to the Pirates, and now where the Pirates are at since they've moved on.
Exactly.
With this... I mean, I know some guys have moved on. Josh Bell, Josh Harrison. But it's essentially the same crew, kind of, for the first couple of years it was. And they were awful in 2019 and 2020.
So there's some feeling that Greg Fiesel, you know, got appointed as team president right after Breidich's resignation. Let's be, mutual agreement for him to go.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. He got fired. It wasn't just Jeff Breidich going, I'm just tired and I'm done and I'm burned out. And so apparently that Breidich made the statement on his recent discussions with team executives that apparently that they were floating the idea, must have been that Monfort did, the idea of a team president. Finally, after all these years.
Yeah.
And that maybe Breidich felt uncomfortable with that.
Well, of course, because he would have another boss.
And have somebody else telling him what to do. And that might have been, hey, Jeff, you either like this and stay here and operate with, you know, under the parameters of now a club president, or you can leave. And I get a sense that Jeff Breidich is the kind of guy I don't like to be questioned.
I don't like to answer to two people.
Yeah, I'll answer to Dick Monfort. He owns the team. I'm not going to answer to some other guy. And if it was going to be Greg Fiesel, I'm going to venture a guess that Jeff Breidich's like, that guy doesn't know crap about baseball. Why would I answer to him?
Neither do you, Jeff, but first things first.
First things first. And so that might have been the thing that sparked that they were going to promote Fiesel. And that was in the discussion process with Monfort and Jeff Breidich. And Breidich's like, I'm not going to answer to that guy. I'm done here.
Right.
Very quickly, just on the legacy of Breidich, it started back in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
7 years there. Notable trade signings 2014. Traded Juan Nicasio to the Dodgers. And they also sent Josh Rutledge to the Angels for Jairo Diaz. Didn't exactly work out with any of those.
But nothing that was a
franchise killer, right?
Rutledge was not necessary. I mean, that was to clear room for DJ LeMahieu.
Yeah, they didn't exactly. It wasn't like they got rid of all-star caliber talent with those moves. So you can't really say much about 2014 that it was really a negative. 2015. Traded Troy Tulowitzki and LaTroy Hawkins to the Blue Jays.
In a poorly executed trade.
Crappy. Well, look, Tulo may have wanted out and things like that, but he didn't deserve to be treated the way he was by Jeff Breidich. But they got Jose Reyes, Miguel Castro, Jeff Hoffman, Jesus Tinoco, Tommy Canling went to the White Sox for Yency Almonte, who's been with him for a while. And then they also got Mark Reynolds. They signed Reynolds as a free agent, the sheriff. That's when Nolan Arenado really started to take off in 2015.
Mm-hmm. And that's probably their best free agent. Probably their best roster move under Breidich was signing Mark Reynolds.
Probably so. 2016, traded Corey Dickerson and Kevin Padlo to the Rays for Jake McGee and Airman Marquez. They signed
second to Mark Reynolds.
Signed Gerardo Parra, Willie Abreu, and Mike Dunn and Ian Desmond to $70 million for Ian Desmond.
Oh, Mike Dunn. Ugh.
Right there, it's Airman Marquez, and that's the only positive.
Yeah.
That's it. 2017, they lost in the NL wild card.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
to the Diamondbacks, because John Gray imploded.
Correct. That's the disastrous start for John Gray. Traded Eddie Butler to the Cubs for James Ferris. Alejandro Requenin, J.D. Hammer, Jose Gomez to the Phillies for Pat Neshek. Signed Greg Holland, Wade Davis, Brian Shaw, Jake McGee, Chris Iannetta. They made their first playoff appearance since 2009.
And for a moment, Holland and Davis both had some success.
Yeah, they were okay.
But not any long-term success.
So, but Davis, Shaw, and McGee, really, they all underperformed. Let's be honest.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And it was all Coors Field's fault, right, Brian Shaw?
Exactly. It was all Coors Field's fault. 2018, lost in the NLDS, lost to the Milwaukee Brewers. Traded Chad Spamberger and Forrest Wall to the Blue Jays for pitcher Saquon O. Stone Buddha.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Jerry Vasto to the Royals for Drew Butera. Signed Daniel Murphy. Made the playoffs again, like I mentioned. But let DJ LeMahieu walk in free agency to the Yankees for the same deal Murphy signed with the Rockies.
Yep.
2019 extensions for Arenado and Marquez, traded Mike Tauchman to the Yankees, which has come back to bite him a little bit because Tauchman's a good, you know, kind of utility outfield guy.
Good guy off the bench. Yeah, yeah. Good lefty bat, I think.
They traded for Philip Deal, Hunter Stovall to the Phillies for James Pazos, the left-handed pitcher. And so there was some optimism, right? Even though they were 71 and 91, because Arenado and Marquez, they were locked in, right? Future of the team, a couple of their biggest stars. And then last year, they traded a player to be named later, cash to the Red Sox for Kevin Pillar. Obviously, Trevor Story had an outstanding season in 2020, but that's when we knew that the writing was on the wall about Arenado going someplace else. And then 2021, we know what's happened this year.
You promise Nolan Arenado that you're going to do everything you can to compete, and you bring in zero major league roster ready free agents.
He did nothing.
I'd want out at that point.
He lied to him.
Pretty much, yeah.
He flat out lied to him. Yeah, we're gonna bring in assets. We're gonna bolster the bullpen. We're gonna take another shot at rebuilding our bullpen.
And when you come out and say we're good with the group we have, instead of, well, no one wanted to sign here. I mean, you didn't even try. We're good with the group we have.
Just have to play better.
Yeah, 71 and 91.
All right, 8:46. Do we have a winner yet? By the way,
we do not.
Okay.
We do not.
So let's go ahead and let's hit it one more time.
Know your sports TV shows and movies? Let's play Stadium Cinema on the team.
We'll hit it again. So
I'm looking for this movie that was referenced on this show yesterday as one of your deserted island movies.
Now, if I were playing, what I would do is play center midfield so I could control the flow of the game and help out the inexperienced players.
Okay, first correct answer. You want a gift certificate to 357 Reloaded in the Peachtree Shopping Center. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Four Down Territories coming up next right here on the Jim Davis Show on Colorado Sports Leader, the team.
Cuckoo, loony, and crazy. The Jim Davis Show on Colorado Sports Leader, the team.
.850, Jim along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Most trusted name in automobiles. Thanks for joining us today. Text or call us, 970-242-1340. All right. Let's get to... Oh, do we have a winner yet, by the way?
We do. I'm checking on the moratorium, so give me 2 seconds here.
Okay, just before we can confirm.
We do have a winner.
Okay, well, very good.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
We have Terry correctly identifying Ladybugs, the movie, the soccer coach movie with Rodney Dangerfield.
All right. Congratulations.
Yes.
Let's see. That was the one where it wasn't like his...
He was dating his
girlfriend's son, and they dressed him up to play on the girls' soccer team.
Yep.
All right. So very good. Nicely done. Okay.
Good job, Terry.
Good job, Terry. Well done, Terry. Here we go. Four down territory.
We're into four down territory on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
Sorry, I didn't mean to seem distracted there.
That's okay.
First down. Been quite a series of the Padres and the Dodgers.
Oh, yeah.
And Fernando Tatis, you know, remember, of course, he hit the bomb off of Trevor Bauer and did the little wink thing at him, you know, the one-eyed thing. And Bauer's cool with the home run, you know, with the one-eye thing. Well, apparently there's been some accusations, though, that Tatis was looking at Will Smith, the catcher's signs, not, of course, actor Will Smith, Dodgers catcher Will Smith.
I was going to say, if it is Big Willie style, maybe he's not very good at hiding the sign.
But anyway, there were allegations that he was doing that. You buying that? Tatis was looking back and...
It looked like it, yeah, a little bit. But also, I don't care if he was. That's up to the catcher to hide it better.
Will Smith, you got to do a better job of hiding the signs then.
Yeah.
All right, second down. And for second down, if I could, excuse me, I've got to find my stuff. Another Major League Baseball for four down territory. The Oakland A's, which have been absolutely phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Remember they got out to that horrible start? They were 1-7.
Yeah, they won, what, 14 in a row?
Yeah. Well, last night, the play at home plate with Elvis Andrus sliding in at home.
Missed that.
He slides in at home, and he's safe at home. They review it, and they still called him out, even though every camera angle showed that he was safe.
Here we go again.
Fortunately, it did not cost the A's the game last night. They ended up winning the game last night, but it was a terrible call. Elvis Andrus hustling, two-out situation, trying to go first to home, comes in head first, slide, scores, they call him out, and then they look back at it, and they still the same thing. Now, they're 15-8 now. The main thing is they still won 2-1 last night over the Rays.
Did you see Aaron Boone get run because he ran out of time to challenge a play at third base in the eighth against the Orioles in Baltimore last night?
I did not see that.
Yeah, ran out of time, then ran out of the dugout because he got maybe within a yard of the umpire, and the umpire gave him the gate. Left his mask in the dugout too, by the way, which was, at least you could see all the F words coming out now, which is kind of
true.
Nice. Third down, if you're Greg Fiesel, how tempted are you to just completely blow it up right now?
Are you gonna be allowed to blow it up?
Probably not.
I mean, but is he going to be allowed to do that?
If you're in charge right now, you have plunger in hand if you want.
But does he know what to do?
No.
I mean, you have to go to blow something up and make it better. Don't you have to know what better is and how to get to better?
They right? let Jeff Breidich run the team for 7 years, and he didn't know what he was doing.
That's true. I mean, this guy used to sell Coca-Cola. Why not? Why not let him just go in there? And
Coke's pretty popular. They got that figured out.
Couldn't do worse, right?
Yeah, all kinds of Coke. Pretty fun.
Yeah,
I like the sugar-free cherry. It's pretty good.
It's good. I'm a little reluctant just to let him blow it up, considering I don't know if he knows what that means to make it better. Necessarily. Doesn't have the expertise.
Right.
There. And Clint Hurdle, yes. If Hurdle was there, absolutely yes.
And we got a Canadian football. We're out of time for hour two.
Okay. We'll be back with hour three. You want to bring that back next hour?
Sure.
Okay. Mav Day next hour right here on the team.